for folks that listen to the show on the air, you know that the show is followed by another program here on WWDB called Tone and Tenor.
Always opens with a fantastic song.
And yeah, the music choices are great.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, you know, we get to listen to some of that. And I can tell you that we had someone in the studio a week ago or two that said afterwards he went outside and listened on the way home. It's great. And so with us now is Randall Jefferson, who's the host of Tone and Tenor on WWDB AM 860. Randall, welcome to the Conservative Voice.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for allowing me to carve out some of the time and be here with you, and it's good.
So well, it's great to have you. We always have these short conversations between shows, right?
As we're breaking
and
down
cameras. Unfortunately,
this
is going to be short too, but maybe one day we'll carve out a whole segment. And
yes.
We can really get down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, that'd be good. So there are a few things that we touch on when we get a chance to talk, and those are typically issues around Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we want to hit on that really importantly, but also on this election that just passed on Tuesday. I mean, you've got a different perspective on that, I'm sure. What did you take away from what happened on Election Day?
Well, you know, with being totally transparent, I actually worked the polls in Philadelphia. And unfortunately, we see everyone jumping up and down about what has happened in, mm-hmm. here in the city of Philadelphia. Basically, for those of your listeners that don't know, Philadelphia is also a county, and it's the largest county in the state of Pennsylvania. And you hear Democrats talk about they delivered. And Tone and Tenor goes straight down the middle. And my Democratic friends, I've said this on my show, and I've said, stop the nonsense. You did not deliver. You know, if you delivered, we wouldn't have the predicaments that we have in the city of Pennsylvania. And this is not just under the Democratic leadership, but it's also under, if you peel back even further, it's been under Republican leadership. And for those of you that don't know it, prior to in the early, late 60s, Philadelphia was a Republican town. You know, a lot of folks don't want to hear that because when you go to the polls, people are now looking at, oh, I'm voting straight Democratic or I'm voting straight Republican. That's because they are, I listened to you earlier today, that's because they're not informed. They're only informed when they walk into these polls with a palm card.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, well, these, and somebody's pushing in their face, you have to vote for this person, you have to vote for this person. Oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Well, you know, the old saying, you know, you spit in your hand and not in the other, which one fills up first? It doesn't work like that. You know, as the treasurer was saying about, and you alluded to about education here in the city of Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia had to go take $1.9 billion line of credit due to the shutdown and the Democrats and not just Democrats, but the elected officials in general,
mm-hmm.
not wanting to play in the sandbox.
Right.
Not putting the people that hired them first. They're putting their own power first because it's not about the money because they don't get paid well. It's about the power and the control that they have over your lives.
Yeah.
And this is what has happened once they took civics out of the schools, because I can guarantee you, if you walk down these streets and you ask folks the three branches of government, you may get 2 out of 10 that can tell you. And you can look at it because, you know, as your previous show, you talked about bills. You know, that's a myth because, yes, you're right when the bills, depending on who's in power in the House and the Senate, whether it's in the state or in the federal government, they will hold up those bills in committee, especially if it's not something they believe in. And as you said earlier, it can stick in the, it can go through several years before it even may make it out of committee.
Yep.
Then it could still stay in the floor. And think about it. If we're looking at, say, 115, 116, the Congress, if we talk about the state, about Congress, it could stay there. And sometimes the bills die.
Yep.
They die. So they never even make it to vote.
Right.
So, you know, it's a whole process, and it's so antiquated that I call it, it's a lack of leadership.
Yes.
And it's a lack of folks wanting to play in the sandbox for the betterment of the communities for which they serve. And until folks can come together, I know both of you probably remember this, in Congress, in the Senate, you had the ante room.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen there is that they would go behind closed doors,
mm-hmm.
lock those doors, cuss each other out,
yep.
beat each other up, but they would come out with something that benefited the folks for which they served. Today, we have folks that, you know, that say, want to play the blame game. Oh, it's the Republicans' fault. Oh, it's the Democrats' fault. It's this fault. I will guarantee, Gary, that if Pennsylvania was an open state primary election,
mm-hmm.
we would have different outcomes.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is no one has the kahunas to put that on the floor or even put it to a vote.
Because it would affect their level of power.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
of course. And we're not talking Republican and Democrat here.
No,
we're talking about
everyone.
What needs to really happen. Because, you know, I was insulted. I don't know where. I know you guys got these things. I was insulted with people having lost their jobs, being laid off,
yep.
and these handkerchief head politicians sending out on October 31st, please help us make our goal by midnight, our fundraising goal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, while the you fundraising have folk, text
while
messages.
While you have yep. folks out there that can't pay their bills, can't go to, forced to go to work without a paycheck,
yeah,
and being threatened that if you're going to lose your job. This is not what the democracy is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be about these folks that we elect, or in some cases select, because that's what happens.
That's mm-hmm. right.
They're selected because of the lack of knowledge and information. Back to your original question, the poll I worked at, and there was no one there. I mean, when I say no one, there was no one outside. You know, folks, there's no such thing as an off election.
Right.
That's right.
You know, yeah, every year here.
And I was very upset with our major broadcasting networks talking, and some of them said it, oh, this is an off year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an off year, because what transpired are folks that could sit in judicial seats for years that control your lives.
Everything about your life.
You know, and this is what needs to change. But we have to go back to, and I think the topic is about young people, we have to go back to civics in the classroom. They took that out for a reason.
Of course.
You know, and it wasn't Democrat, it wasn't Republican. It was who could get the upper hand on why it was done. I've been involved in this game, and that's what it is, since I was 16 years old. This politics is in every walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
And until we acknowledge that, and folks like, you know, we can agree to disagree.
Oh, yeah.
You know, conservative. And I tell folks, and Gary hears me say it, and everyone out there hears me say, there's good Republicans, there's bad Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
There's good Democrats, there's bad Democrats. We have to stop lumping everyone into one pot.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, all you hear, oh, the Republicans did this, the Republicans did that, or the Democrats didn't take a stand, and the Democrats, oh, well, the wave took after the election. There was no wave. If you go back in history, you'll see that regardless of who wins the election, what party wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what has happened in New York. You look at what's happening in New Jersey. You know, you have billionaires talking about, first, if this guy wins in New York, I'm going to move my offices to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
well, if this person wins in New Jersey, now we're talking about a person that owns a supermarket chain, and he's talking about, oh, well, if they win, we're going to move to Florida.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, I mean, we're going to have to lay off people. Well, you're laying off people anyway.
Right.
You know, let's not get it twisted. Our economy is not the best right now.
No.
It's good for those of folks that have a 401k. It's good for those that have some money that can invest, but it's not good for those folks that work from paycheck to paycheck. And in the state of Pennsylvania, now, if we really want to talk about it, I don't hear nobody talking about it or pushing it. We are still at $7.25 an hour. That is what the minimum wage for Pennsylvania is, $7.25 an hour. If we even take it to the federal level, that is getting pushed back. But yet and still, during these furloughs and layoffs, all these folks are getting paid.
Yeah. Well, and so when I talk about wages, I talk about government-mandated minimum wage mm-hmm. and the market minimum wage.
Right.
So if you go to Washington County, south, you know, extreme, like down below Pittsburgh, and you look at what was happening when the oil industry was recovering and sort of regenerating mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania, the government minimum wage was whatever, $7.25 or something, may have been $6.50, I don't mm-hmm. remember what it was. But the actual market minimum wage for unskilled industrial labor, so these are value-added jobs, but you have to get training, mm-hmm. was about $15.50.
Right.
The reason was that there had been this economic boom. Well, when oil prices fell to at one point zero, mm-hmm. when oil prices fell dramatically and all of that drilling came to a halt, those jobs disappeared. Well, then the market minimum wage dropped down to $7.25 because there was no one to hire. Then new employers came in and said, hey, look, here's a place we can go and find some workers. We could do that. And the market minimum wage started growing again. The point being that when I look at wages, it seems to me that what's more important than the minimum wage by government is the regulatory burden they're putting on mm-hmm. these companies that drive them out, is the taxes that they're putting on companies that and individuals that make it impossible to live here,
mm-hmm.
right? These property taxes in Pennsylvania now, I mean, it's New Jersey.
Right.
You know? And so it's that economic opportunity. And when I look at somewhere like Philadelphia, what I see, I think, is an entrenched political class that has an absolute lock on the city. So the voters can't even pick from a real choice.
There is no choice.
They actually have no clue.
Yeah.
You know, let's call a spade a spade.
Uh-huh.
They have no clue. Because anytime a mayor can have the largest mayoral budget, staffing budget, you know, and they still talk about what they want to pay.
Mm-hmm.
To those folks, the everyday worker. And think about it, Gary. If someone's making $15, $19, $20 an hour, they still need that assistance. Not everyone that's getting SNAP
mm-hmm.
are folks that are on welfare.
Right.
It's those folks that's trying to make ends meet because at the end of the month, they've got to figure out whether they got to pay this or feed their family. And this is what the problem is, and folks that have to leave Philadelphia, now you mentioned the outside counties. The outside counties are paying more. Their wages are higher. I mean, $15 for a youngster. I mean, think about it. When we were young, McDonald's jobs were for us, were for the mm-hmm. young people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those were the jobs. Now you go into a McDonald's, you see, I hate to say it, somebody's grandmother working there because they can't afford to pay their bills.
Right.
You know, these are the things that they're not really looking at. And this is both sides of the aisle.
Yes.
They're not looking at what's really affecting the folks that employ them. You know?
Yep.
Because we are their employers. And I remember talking to a former congressman one day, and they said to me, well, if they don't like what we're doing, well, you can fire us by going to the ballot. Well, as you said, Philadelphia is entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
You give them he gave me a turkey. He gave me a football uniform. He gave me this. He gave me that. This is what the mindset is because they're looking at this as an offset.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned property tax. Philadelphia's property tax is going up. And because there was no budget up until the other day, after 135 days, which should not have happened, Pennsylvania was the last state in these United States to ratify a budget. What happened? Montgomery County, Bucks County, all of your outlining counties and the counties across the state, they had to work on a budget that put in place the possibility of raising property taxes.
Well, and to put that in perspective, if you look at Chester County, the example we use all the time because it's so extreme.
Almost 14%.
Property taxes only cover about 35% of the budget of that county.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like this before. People and the 14% property tax increase we just had, plus the property tax increases at schools and at
and the townships.
Yep. Some townships have doubled taxes.
Yep. Right.
Here's what hasn't changed. Wages for the average worker have not gone up. If you look at inflation-adjusted wages, between energy and all the goods we have to buy and the tax bills we're getting, wages aren't going up. So if you're gonna increase taxes in Philadelphia, well, okay, they're going to take a bigger share of what? The same income?
Yeah.
I mean, the people of Philadelphia aren't making more money, are they? I mean, no, I'm talking about the average
Joe. The average person is not making more money, but what has happened here, not just in Philadelphia, but as somebody alluded to earlier, we are not attracting businesses.
Yes.
We are taxing businesses out. You know, they are going to the Midwest. They're going to finding other places that are business friendly. You know, we have to begin to attract business. We shouldn't have to, and I know this to be true, we shouldn't have to go to Norfolk to get a welder to come to Philadelphia to work on these buildings.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, we put this money in all of these places, but somebody needs to tell me, where's the money going? Why is it that we have to keep funding? You know, remember, Philadelphia still has a separate school tax.
Yep.
It has a separate school tax. So, plus all of these other crazy little taxes was all, you know, our politicians play this game when it's a sympathy game. We go after our young people and we go after our older people. Oh, well, you know, this tax is going to help our young. Well, if we got all this money from these taxes, then why are we $1.9 billion a line of credit for Philadelphia School District?
Well, in the Philadelphia School District, whereas at least in other parts of the state and different counties, you have school board directors who you can elect or take out if they're not doing their jobs. In Philadelphia, they're not elected, right? You don't have races for school board directors that the common neighborhood citizen can vote for, or you know, to give their opinion on the job they feel they're doing, right?
And if you look, and if you look at the, if you look at it, it's always the recycled people that end up, as someone said, and I'm not against it. There's some good people,
sure,
but you have to start looking for innovative ideas. You have to start bringing the young people back to the table.
That's right,
because if without them, they're gonna. They go, we have, I forgot the number of colleges in this area, but most of the folks get educated. Most of the folks get educated here and then leave. Yeah. Why? No jobs.
That's right. And it's not one policy that affects the jobs. It's the regulatory burden. It's the tax burden. Yeah. Right. It's trade policy. We saw that drive huge amounts of employment out of cities like Philadelphia. You know, it is all of those coming together. It's immigration.
Lack of affordable housing.
Right. We talked about how the H-1Bs are taking away the high-value jobs, the high-skilled jobs. But the mass migration of foreign nationals into this country, what was that for? That was to drive down wages.
Yes.
So now you're saying the government's going to come out and say, I want a bigger piece of the same dollar you earned last year, but I'm taking more and more every year. And when it comes to schools, we talked about this in the first segment in this hour. Mm-hmm. You know, Pennsylvania is number 9 in taxes. It's 39 in outcomes.
Right.
Randall, we've got about 1 minute left in this segment. Then I know your show kicks off right after this. I mean, what are your, I'm like, where do we go from here in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania? Where do we go?
Well, two things need to happen. And I know one's never going to happen while we have present leadership both sides of the aisle. We need open primaries. Second of all, we need folks that need to sit down at the table and go behind these closed and do real negotiation. You know, and then we have to look at what Pennsylvania has to offer. I mean, I know each and every one, you turn on your TV, come to Baltimore, come to Wilmington. All the ads.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at how they're building up. We need to take a page out of Charlotte. What happened in Charlotte?
Oh.
This is what we need to do. We need to stop looking at, you know, all of this Philly, Philadelphia. And I'm not against Philadelphia 250. I'm not against the celebration. Somebody tell me where the money's going.
Where's the money going? That's
Where's the money? Who's going to benefit?
That's right. K Bono, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. Okay.
So, Randall Jefferson, thank you for joining us on The Conservative Voice. It's nice to get you in the studio, and we got to do this again. So
anytime.
Folks, stand by. In just a few minutes, the next show kicks off, which is Randall with Tone and Tenor.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to The Conservative Voice on WWE AM 860 in Philadelphia.
Thank you.